The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. This is Alan Ellis again, second hour. Robin's here with me today, and we're talking with Angel Willey from Maryland's Department of Natural Resources, and we'll ask our producer to lock her in so that we don't lose her during the commercials. Good morning, Angel. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. Tell our listeners your title and, you know, with the fishing and boating services.
I'm a program manager for the Coastal Fisheries Program.
And that's everything that would be east of the landmass in Maryland.
Everything off of
Ocean City, right?
Right.
Yeah, and maybe even west. I don't know. Is that considered coastal back in the bays? Is that your territory down there?
Right.
Yeah.
Too.
I got it. All right. Very good. Well, the interesting part of your email and our discussion today is going to be mostly around sharks, I guess, huh?
Right.
Okay. So, a number of years ago, it's been a long time. Fella, his mother was actually a great listener and a friend from Reisterstown, Amy from Reisterstown. She's since mm-hmm. passed, and she was in her 90s when she passed. Been to her house. She was very proud of her son who caught a bull shark off of Sandy Point Park. Do you recall that?
No, but I've heard about that.
Okay, the bull shark.
The Bill Burton.
Yep, he went out in a John boat, basically, baited up for this shark, and hooked it. He knew the shark was there, or several of them, I guess. He hooked a bull shark right off Sandy Point, took him all the way down to Bloody Point. He got it close enough, you know, after fighting it all that time, he got it close enough, and he shot the shark to kill it, to bring it aboard. Mm-hmm. It weighed, I believe, if I recall, somewhere around 400 pounds. Got it in his boat. He took it into the old Reisterstown Bait and Tackle and checked it in. I don't think there was a cetacean for bull shark at that point, but DNR came out. He got in a little bit of a scrape about shooting the shark. But,
right.
Yeah, but you know, the celebratory part was far more than any trouble that might have done for him. Of course, it you know, Burton splashed it, and you know, pictures were you know, prominently displayed in shop and all that type of thing. So it was a pretty interesting time at that point. So we do have sharks in our Chesapeake Bay, correct?
Correct.
Tell us about them.
Well, we don't have a whole lot of documentation on the sharks in the Chesapeake Bay, but like you said, you know we have bull sharks. You know, they're annual visitors. They typically start coming up here in May, and, you know, they can hang around until October or so.
Right.
What a lot of people don't realize is we also get sandbar sharks here.
Okay.
And that's more like around the Tangier Sound area.
Right. Okay. Yeah, well, that would make sense. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the bull sharks, let's talk a little bit about that. The bull sharks have been blamed. They're a dangerous shark. Am I right on that?
No, you're spot on that. I mean, you know, there's been, you know, shark bites up and down the coast.
So. Yeah, blamed on bull sharks. And I believe back in the early 19th century, there was an attack up and down the coast of New Jersey in a river where some young swimmers were killed. I think there were five or six fatalities blamed on bull sharks. Back then, they weren't sure what was going on. And they killed a bull shark or a couple of them, and the attack ceased. But that was more of a brackish water. So these sharks are capable of going up into our massive river system that feeds the bay. Am I right?
You're right. And we've actually had reports of them as far north as Aberdeen Proving Ground.
Right, Aberdeen.
Aberdeen, yeah.
Aberdeen, okay. That's well, that would make sense right up the street from Sandy Point. I mean, you know, not much for not much ground for a shark to cover, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, pretty interesting. So, should people be concerned about these sharks?
I think people just need to be aware that they're there.
Okay. Awareness yeah. rather than concern. I got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they're there, and, you know, folks have been fishing in the Chesapeake for hundreds of years.
Well, of course, yeah. Well, so, every now and then we see one that gets caught by a waterman in a you know, pound net or something like that. Is that
right?
Is that pretty much the reports that we get on them?
Yeah, some folks will also contact me just to let me know that, you know, maybe they were out kayaking or paddleboarding or something, and they saw one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Paddleboarding
yeah.
or kayaking?
Hmm. Yeah, last year was a little, you know, slightly busier year for reports,
yeah.
and I had some folks report from kayaks and paddle boards.
Now, where were these reports coming from? I mean,
well, we get a lot of them from around the Point Lookout area, and I did have some as far north as, like, the South River.
Okay, I got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a few well. Years ago, you know, one of the rangers at Sandy Point shut the beach down for a day.
Okay, all right, so it's not a not a a common occurrence, but it can happen in the bay. And if something does happen, and people, you know, it's not a Jaws moment. We just want to you know, exercise caution. Is that right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Got it. So let's move to the offshore. You know, or the coast. You've got inshore sharks, and you got the offshore sharks.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about the ones that hang around more than the ones that migrate through. Tell us, you know, give us a little bit of a rundown of the shark population off Ocean City.
Well, they're all migratory, but we do have sharks in the area year-round. You know, in the winter months, most people don't realize that's when spiny dogfish are off the Maryland coast and, you know, accessible to, like, surf anglers. And then and, you know, when spring shows up, we start getting, like, you know, reports of the sandbar sharks, dusky
right.
sharks, spinner sharks, smooth hammerheads, scalloped hammerheads, sand tigers. And, you know, many of those species are available to folks fishing from the beach or from the boat in state waters or
right.
in federal waters.
Okay, federal waters being off of Assateague is what you're saying.
Well, federal waters start or 3 miles.
3 miles out, I get that. Yeah, sure.
Right, yeah.
Sure. Well, your resident okay. shark expert in Ocean City that I hold in highest regard is Mark Sampson.
Yes.
I fished with Mark. And we actually went on an inshore fishing trip, and I believe we caught two types of shark, duskies and sandbars. Would mm-hmm. that be right?
Yeah, definitely, yep.
Okay. And there was another one, smaller shark, that was only about 3 or 4 feet long, and I don't remember what that one was. But that was the only one we could keep because everything else was too, you know, there's a larger size limit on some of those fish. And we really didn't want to keep a lot of big sharks or any big sharks, actually, for any purpose. So mm-hmm. Mark tagged, I think we caught 13 or 15 sharks that day.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark tagged 10 or 11 of them, and it was a very interesting process of getting the sharks on board, getting it calmed down, and somewhere on a computer somewhere, I actually have a video of one that came off the deck when he was tagging it off the little the engine cover, I guess. It came off the engine cover and whipped around and snapped at Mark, which was a pretty cool thing to watch as well. But he stepped out of the way. Thank God there was no injury. But it was pretty interesting to watch that. And then, you know, the tagging process where they, you know, use the dye and everything else. It was very cool to watch that. And I have no idea what the results were of that. And are there a lot of the tagged sharks are there a lot of tagged sharks out there, number one?
Well, it depends on the perspective of that. You know, NOAA has an apex predator tagging program where recreational anglers can get a tagging kit from them.
Right.
And tag sharks up and down the coast, mark tag sharks every year.
Right.
You know, but it's not like the same amount that you would see, that we would say for straight bass. You know, there are thousands of tags out there for straight bass.
Right, of course. But yeah. You know, I guess the question is, are we learning anything from this tagging effort?
Yeah, I think, you know, probably one of the most popular cases lately has been with O-Search.
Right.
And, you know, their great white shark tagging.
Right.
And a lot of people have heard about Mary Lee, and, you know, we've learned, you know, about her migration habits and stuff like that.
Right, right. But I was pretty much referring to this program you were talking about where the recreational anglers tag sharks, mm-hmm. and I guess these are re-caught. Do we have any data in Maryland on any of that stuff?
Yeah, I haven't heard about the results of that. We would have to get in touch with NOAA.
Oh, so they're the only ones that have the records. You don't
right.
personally know, you know, anything about that, NOAA. I mean, I know you know about it, but I mean, you don't have the results of anything that's going on
no.
off the coast in Maryland. Uh-huh.
No.
I see. Okay. Well, you have a note here about IDing sharks. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sharks can be difficult to distinguish, especially since they're not frequently encountered by most anglers. So tell us a little bit about the prohibited species and what they can keep and can't keep.
So a lot of the sharks folks catch from, you know, the surf in Ocean City are prohibited species. You know, your sandbar sharks,
right.
dusky sharks, sand tiger sharks, those are all prohibited species.
What's the difference between a sandbar and a sand tiger?
Well, just the general appearance.
Okay.
Sandbars, you know, they have this big dorsal fin.
Okay.
Sand tiger sharks, you've been to the aquariums and you've seen these sharks swimming around with, like, these snaggly tooth, you know, teeth
uh-huh.
sticking out.
Okay. Those are sand tigers.
Yeah.
Okay. A sandbar and a dusky look relatively close, do they not?
They do, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, if you catch a shark on the beach and you go, man, I'm going to try shark meat, you may be in violation. Is that right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually put a basic ID guide for some of the more commonly caught sharks
uh-huh.
in our fishing and crabbing guide this year.
Right.
And it's a good starting point to figure out, can I keep this or not?
Right.
You know, if you see, you know, what we call an inner dorsal ridge, which kind of looks like a crease in a pair of pants.
Okay.
You know, odds are you're not going to get to keep that shark.
Okay. It's called an inner dorsal ridge. And where do we mm-hmm. find it?
It's in between the first dorsal and the second dorsal fin, the fins on top of the shark.
The fins on top of the shark. So if there's a mm-hmm. crease there that looks like a crease in a pair of pants, that's going to be a species that you don't want to keep.
Well, for the most part, yeah. I mean, smooth dogfish have that, and you could keep that shark.
Uh-huh. How big do smooth dogfish get?
They don't get very big. They, you know, they're like a few feet, you know, up to 36 inches or so.
These are the ones you commonly catch in, like on a headboat or something like that. If you're catching sea robins and that kind of stuff, you're probably going to wind up with a dogfish.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people in the fall trips, they'll get spiny dogfish as well, and you'll know those right away because they'll have two spines right off the dorsals.
Okay.
And you don't want to touch those spines.
Why?
They're venomous, yep.
Oh, they're venomous, like a stingray yeah. might be. Stingrays mm-hmm. are actually in the same type of category. They're like a first cousin of a shark, aren't they?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Okay. So our cow nose ray, southern stingray, we don't worry too much about the skate species, though, do we? Even though they're part of that same family of fishes.
Yeah, the skates, they actually have, you know, to me, a very different appearance. You
yes,
know,
they do.
They actually have, you know, a small dorsal and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. But they don't get as large as the cow nose ray or the stingray.
No, no. And they don't have the venomous spines.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I picked them up by the tail and not need really to throw them back and not really worried too much about them, but I'll never pick up a stingray, that's for sure.
Right.
Or a cow nose ray, I'll never pick one up. I'll just cut the line or whatever I have to do to get rid of that thing. So.
Yeah, that's a little interesting for our work, getting the rays out of our nets.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. And, I mean, I've known two or three people that have been actually hit by the cow nose ray here in the Chesapeake Bay region and have been very seriously injured.
Yep.
So, let's go back to the sharks. We're looking for an inner dorsal ridge, and if they have that, you're probably not going to want to keep that other than a dogfish. Now, the dogfish don't really have any teeth, do they? I mean, they have...
No, they're just... They're more of a, well, you know, like a smoother type of tooth.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, you're not going to get scarred by one. You're not going to get lacerated by one.
No.
Okay. And they're actually pretty good to eat if you take care of them, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's say we do keep one of those dogfish and want to eat it. What's proper care and handling?
In terms of eating it or in terms of keeping it? So with smooth dogfish, the watermen like to go ahead and get the fins removed and gut them. And that gets rid of, you know, what they call like the ammonia buildup so that the fish don't get slimy.
Why the fins?
I guess that's a release for the ammonia buildup.
Oh, so the ammonia builds up under the skin. I'm guessing they don't remove the waste products in a normal fashion. They do that through their skin. Is that right?
I'm not sure about that, Alan.
Okay. So the ammonia buildup, though, that is part of that system. And so removing the fins gives you like a pressure release valve like you mentioned. Is that where you're going with that?
Right.
And then they got them. Okay. So after that, what?
If I want to
keep a dogfish to eat.
Yeah.
Okay. Just throw it on ice and then take it home and fillet it or steak it or what?
Right. Yeah. I mean, they sell them as steaks.
They sell them as steaks.
Yeah.
Okay. I got it. Very good. All right. Let's see. Three species with the inner dorsal ridge that are likely to be caught off of Maryland that can be kept. The smooth dogfish, the spiny dogfish, which has a weak inner dorsal, is what you're telling me. And then the tiger shark is one. And then the fourth species is the oceanic white tip. And none of those are legal to keep. Is that right?
Well, those are the ones that you can keep.
Oh, you can keep.
Those are the ones you can keep. But I haven't heard of an oceanic white tip being caught off Maryland.
Okay, but it's in your notes. That's why I mentioned it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. When you talk to, like, say, NOAA, they're going to tell you smooth dogfish, oceanic white tip, and tiger shark.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really see the oceanic white tip. And, you know, technically the spiny dogfish has a weak inner dorsal.
Okay, so we've got a sandbar, a sand tiger, and a tiger. Are you allowed to keep a tiger shark if you happen to catch one offshore?
You could keep a tiger shark. I haven't heard about them being very good to eat.
No.
Or people keeping them.
Right.
But, you know.
Right. But they're out there for the recreational angler if he wants to utilize that, right?
Right.
Okay. Angel, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, and we'll get back to you right after the break, okay? So stay on the line.
All right.
Okay, thanks. All right. Summer's time for picnics and family get-togethers and camping trips. Summer is corn on the cob and fresh tomatoes and cold, juicy watermelons. Now, Schillinger family grows their own corn. They grow their own tomatoes. They sell it at their big produce market. And I'll tell you what, it is spectacular. I love their great-tasting corn and their great-tasting tomatoes, that's for sure. And you can, too. You can, too, if you just head to Schillinger, Papa John's Farm in Severn. At their enormous produce barn, Their own tasty, super sweet corn and homegrown tomatoes are ready. And we got some for the 4th, didn't we, Robin?
Yes, we did.
Right there. There's squash, zucchini, peppers, onions. There's all the fruits like peaches and plums and cherries.
And the cantaloupes were wonderful. The
cantaloupes are just great. Great cantaloupes. They've got the cantaloupes, mouth-watering cantaloupes, sweet, sweet watermelons, both seed and seedless, all different types of fruit and vegetables right there. Papa John's Farm is located just off I-97 at exit 12. That's 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. If you want to put that in the GPS, that's 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. Phone number here, 410-969-8810. Now, Papa John's Farm is open every day, Monday to Saturday from 9 to 7 and Sunday 9 to 6. That phone number once more, 410-969-8810. If you're looking for a big batch of corn for a family reunion you want to cook up or maybe some church party or something like that, Papa John's Farm is the place I recommend. Visit Schillinger's Papa John's Farm. It'll grow on you.
The weather pattern is going to trend drier into this week, and if you're to be out from this morning into the afternoon, expect a mix of clouds and sunshine. There may be an isolated shower or thunderstorm popping up later today as a front approaches, but those will be few and far between, and the high today will hit 89 degrees. Overnight, a clearing trend with a low of 65. A dry end of the weekend tomorrow, sunny and slightly cooler with a high near 86 degrees, and then some scattered showers and thunderstorms may develop during the afternoon on Monday with a high reaching 87. I'm Jeff Maher from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
Hey, what happened there? Let's talk about Clyde Sports Shop for a minute. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. That's where you'll find Clyde's, and that's where you'll find a large selection of crabbing supplies. They've got the open top, you know, the stackable crab traps. They've got the box traps. They've got the trot lines already rigged, ready to go. They've got everything. They've got the bait. They've got the frozen bait. They've got anything you need, want, or could imagine for crabbing or fishing at Clyde Sports Shop. That's right. Even have the steamers and their own branded crab seasoning. So why not stop by Clyde Sports Shop, again, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, or phone 242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. Don't forget that 24-hour fishing hotline. That's 247-3474. 410-247-FISH for Clyde's Sports Shop. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the mid-bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Just the good old boys, never meaning no harm. Be it's all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves, flattening the hills. Someday the mountain.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Let's talk to Angel Willie back on the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Angel's the program manager of the coastal fisheries. Angel, you deal with more fish off the offshore than the sharks, do you?
Well, we help manage, you know, tunas and billfishes, swordfish.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Tell me about this whale shark that was in the news.
So I've seen two videos now of some of the charter boats that have gone out there with the whale shark. The whale shark's not a very common visitor to our area. Its range does go all the way up to, like, New York or so.
Mm-hmm. So have you interviewed any of the guys that have, you know, swam with this thing or touched it? Or
I have not.
Uh-huh. Okay. When did you get the first report of the whale shark? Was it a news thing, or did somebody call you and make you aware of it?
Well, I found out on Facebook.
Okay.
So,
well,
our Office of Communications manager sent that over to me.
I see. I got it. All right. Well, that's an interesting species. Any idea how big this thing was?
The first report indicated it was like 35 to 40 feet.
That's a big fish.
It is.
That's a big fish. What do they eat?
They eat zooplankton, phytoplankton, small fishes.
Mm-hmm. Whale sharks do?
Yeah, you know, just ones that they would inhale.
I see. Okay, I got it. Okay, let's move offshore with some of the sport fish, you know, the recreational anglers catching some of the more exotic species out there. I'm guessing the most common one's probably the blue shark. Am I right?
Yeah, Mark Sampson, you mentioned him earlier. He catches blue sharks,
right.
Sharks, mako sharks. That's probably our most popular recreational shark.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the blue sharks are popular because usually they find schools of them, and they have more than one opportunity on the sharks, and it's just a lot of action if you just want to go out there and catch, you don't care as far as you're not targeting a mako or you're not targeting any of the exotic species. Am I right?
Right.
Okay. What time of year do the blue sharks show up?
Blue shark, I mean, the offshore fishing, you know, for like blue sharks starts around May and goes into June.
What brings the sharks into the area?
They're migrating through, as the water temperatures warm up and down the coast.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard we had a mackerel run this March and April for the first time in many years. And then I was told that some of our listeners let us know that there was a big bluefish run, too. I thought maybe the abundance of the bluefish and the mackerel might have, shown up as a food source for these sharks.
Oh, they very well could have been a food source.
Yeah. How's the shark bite going down there in Ocean City? Have we had a shark tournament yet this year?
Oh, yes.
Tell me about it.
Well, I wasn't at the shark tournament myself, but, I'm sure they landed some makos.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No news reports on the size of the fish or anything like that?
No, I don't have that.
You don't have that? Okay.
No.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if I wanted to come to Ocean City and go out on a charter for shark fishing, what should I expect to do? What should I expect to bring? Just show up, pay my money, and go out and let the captain handle everything, or communicate with the captain ahead of time? Is there anything I should know from your office? Any places I could look, on the DNR website or anything like that to make it easier for me?
Well, my number one rule is don't forget food.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, you know, when you're going offshore, you know, even on the near shore trips, like what you were talking about earlier, you're out there for a full day. And, you know, I would always, you know, review your species, the identification, the rules. Most of the folks that are going out, you know, on charter boats, you know, they're covered with permits and that sort of thing. But if you're going out, like, on a private boat, then you need to make sure you've got all your permits in place.
Sure, of course.
In federal waters, you would need a highly migratory species permit.
Okay, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
And where do we get that?
You get that through NOAA. They have a permit office. It's online. You can, you know, fill it out and have your permit. Starting in January, there's going to be like a short quiz that's involved with getting your permit for shark.
Uh-huh.
But that's, you know, going to be geared more towards identification.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you tell us where we look and what links we're supposed to look for. And then, you know, we'll open it up to callers and, we'll let you go about your weekend. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Okay, great. You want to give us some reference materials?
Sure. There's actually, you mentioned Captain Mark Sampson earlier. We did a hook study with him.
Right.
And, you know, the bottom line was that, you know, circle hooks outperform J hooks.
Right.
Sharks.
Sure.
And if folks want to read more about that, they can go to Fishery Bulletin.
Okay. Where do we find that?
You can just Google Fishery Bulletin. And it was last July when it was published.
Okay.
And see if I have that link handy.
You don't have to read the whole link, but Google Fishery Bulletin and you should be okay.
Exactly.
Okay. What about the DNR website? What do we look for there? What do we, you know, there's a search box there. What do we just put shark in there and then get 1,000 pages? Or what do we get? What are we looking for?
You can actually get there pretty quickly from the Fishing and Boating Services website.
Right.
They have a program section. If you go there, click on Coastal Fisheries, scroll down to the side, and you'll see a nice link to Shark Facts and release information.
Shark Facts. So that's mm-hmm. a good thing to put in the search bar, Shark Facts, right?
It is, yeah.
Okay, got it. Very good. All right.
And so that'll give you some information about, you know, what sharks are there,
right
there, link to the hook study.
Right.
It'll tell you about our catch card and tagging program.
Okay.
You know, an angler does keep a shark, they do have to fill out what we call a catch card and get a tag for it.
Okay, that sounds good. Sure.
Yep.
Okay.
There's links to identification. It's basically, you know, everything you need. But anglers should, you know, fishing out Ocean City, like if they're going to be surf fishing, they should check for local ordinances down there. The town of Ocean City has some surf fishing ordinances.
Right. Okay. Well, that gives us some helpful hints to go and, you know, on the DNR fisheries page and look for coastal fisheries, tagging, shark facts, things like that. Is there a special shark page or coastal page on the DNR website?
There is a coastal fisheries program page.
Okay.
And it's under programs.
Under
programs.
It program.
Also tells you about our other work that we do.
Sure. Got it. All right. Well, look, Angel, you've been very informative. We're going to head into the next break here, and we'll let you go enjoy your weekend, and then we'll open up the phones to other callers, okay?
All right. Sounds good.
You have a great weekend. Thanks, Angel.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 410 WCBM 680. If you have any comments on anything you heard about sharks in Ocean City or offshore, we'd love to hear from you. And let me tell you one more time about Clyde Sports Shop. They're located 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. I'm not sure if they have shark fishing gear or not, but I know they got plenty of fish and tackle for the bay and freshwater, perch and panfish and everything else. If you want to take up your fishing rod and go out. Now, don't forget, you got to get some fresh line. So stop down and get some fresh line spooled on your reel. If you got any rod problems, you lost a guide or a tip, they'll replace that for you. Probably while you wait on the tip, they can replace that pretty quick. But if you want to leave your reels, you know, at the end of the season, get them cleaned up, get new line put on, they do all that as well. Clyde Sports Shop, your full-service sporting goods store. They have a full-time gunsmith. They do scope mounting and bore sighting. You know, they've got ammunition. They've got firearms for all types of not only hunting but shooting sports and that type of thing, all those great Browning firearms. They've got handguns for personal protection. They've got shotguns if you want to go that route to protect your home. Everything and anything. After 60 years of experience, you think that Clyde's would know what they're doing and what their folks are that want to want when they come in the store. And they know their customers, and they want to help you become a new customer of Clyde Sports Shop. Again, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, Beltway Exit 9, 410-242-6108. They do have a website. It's ClydeSports.com, two S's in the middle. And the fishing hotline is 247-FISH. We'll be right back after these messages. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Put me on a mountain way back in the backwoods. Put me on a lake with a biggin on the line. Put me around a campfire.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Lines are wide open. Anybody would like to call, we'd love to hear from you. You want to comment on Ocean City fishing? Robin did a little searching on the Ocean City Shark Tournament, and that's all online, right? All you did was Google... Ocean City, Maryland Fishing Report, or what?
Yeah, no, hold on. It's on the Daily Angle.
Oh, the Daily Angle? Okay. Gotcha. Mako,
Fishing OC. Fishing OC.
Fishing OC. That's a good place to go to check that out, that's for sure. And then there's also that story on the angler I read earlier about a guy fishing with the whale shark off Ocean City on a tuna trip. So, anyway, 410-WCBM 680. Let's hear from you folks. Love to hear from you. So it looks like we got a couple callers coming in now, so just keep them coming. We need to finish out the hour here with some good calls, and let's see who the... Hey, there's Mark. Let's see what Mark has to say from Towson, Maryland. And we're getting the emails coming in, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. That's ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. And there's Mark in Towson. Good morning, Mark. How you doing, man?
Good, good.
What's going on?
How are you doing, Robin? Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Doing good.
Good. Glad to hear it. Here's a dumb question for the week. After, other than the challenge of catching a shark,
yes,
what do you do with it after you get it?
Flop it back in. That's what I would do with it.
Okay.
I've got an acquaintance of mine that goes to Assateague, and he fishes for the big sandbars and the duskies. I mean, these are some pretty good sharks. These are 8-9 feet long. And he surf fishes for them, specialized rig, brings them in, tags them, sets them loose. That's what we did. That's what we did a few years ago. I had the whole family out there on the boat with Mark Sampson. We only went a couple miles offshore. I mean, we could see the whole coast. We could see Assateague. We could see everything. Middle of August, so nothing else to do. You go out there, you take some cut up chunks of tuna, and we fished. We bottom fished. We free spooled, we fished on a balloon bobber, and we fished on a kite. We used all different methods to catch sharks, and it's pretty cool to watch a kite. You know, you got a chunk of tuna basically on the surface, you know, and that scent is going down into the water, and the a kite, exactly. So, and you got the kite up there, and the line coming down from the kite, and this piece of tuna bouncing around on the surface to watch a shark come up on the surface and take that piece of tuna and pull that line off the kite, and then you wait till the slack goes out, you reel up, and you set the hook on the shark. You know, these sharks are 5, 6, 7 feet long. I mean, these are a lot of, these are strong fish. These are not, you know, these aren't 20-inch rockfish. And, I mean, it takes a little while to get one in, and you just, you know, they just bring them in. You don't gaff them because you're going to release them, so you put a tail rope on them and you bring them in. You don't net them either. So you put a tail rope on them, you bring them in, you get them settled down on the deck, and Mark will put them up on the, like I said, on the engine cover. He'll die mark them, and he'll put a tag in them. Pretty cool stuff, man. And then a little anesthetic on there to keep the, you know, to keep the tag from getting infected, and I let him handle all the fish. I didn't touch one fish. You know, he's the guy. I don't really feel like having my, you know, my fingers lacerated. So I just let him put him back overboard and had a good time. That's all.
Okay.
It's a lot
after
of fun.
Yeah. The thought of being next to a 6-7 foot shark, the shark wouldn't be the only thing needing a little anesthetic.
You just got to be careful, you know. You let the cat. Look, Mark's the expert, right? So you go, hey, Mark, what do I do? He goes, stand over there. And you're like, yes, sir.
Yeah, if over there is the dock, help me in.
No, it's seriously a lot of fun. I mean, it's to feel that big fish, you know, thumping around underneath, and then to watch them come up, and you know, it's really cool. I mean, they do have a mouthful of teeth. There's no question about it. But you know, I just want to stay away from the business end. So
sounds like the marine equivalent of running with the bulls.
Running with the bulls, exactly. Okay. Well, running with the pit bulls.
Yeah. Right.
So you know, but no, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's very safe and family oriented. I mean, we had, you know, had two kids on board, and you know, one of them was, let's see, Jake was probably 6 or 7, maybe something like that. 7.
In the picture, he looked like it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was 2007 we did that, if I remember right, in the summer.
So if the shark is over here, you stand over there.
You stand over there and let the captain.
Ideally, you can rent the QE2 or something like that.
Yeah, you just stand there, stand back, and take pictures of the captain doing what he does.
Okay.
Yep. And if you want a picture, then the shark either goes up on the gunwale. Okay, and you stand at the other end. stand by the tail. If you go on Ellis Outdoors, I think Heather, our daughter who passed away 2 years ago, is there with Jacob, and they're both happy. Now, that was the biggest shark of the day, And you can see it on the gunnel there. That was part of that whole trip. So that was a real good trip. So
good.
And look forward to doing that once the shoulder gets a little better. Maybe next year. Go out there.
I'm fishing next year.
With Robin and family, and get Jacob back out there and do a revisit on that. So he's down in Bethany now. So it's all good.
Okay. Have a great week.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call, buddy. Thanks.
Bye bye.
There he goes.
Have we done all the spots? Are we done with the breaks?
We're done. Okay, we're done with. We are. Okay, good. Very good. So, you know, shark fishing, I've done it once. I've caught, done it on the headboats and stuff. We've caught the dogfish and that type
of
thing.
We've caught dogfish.
Yeah. Are there better fish to eat? Yeah, there are. Flounder, for example. You know, they're much better. I'd probably eat a whiting, a flounder, a black sea bass, a tautog before I'd eat a shark. So most of the time we catch a dogfish, back it goes. Yeah, that's for sure. But
we call them surf fishing.
Yeah, you can catch them surf fishing. Yep, whiting, kingfish. Oh, they're good. They're very
Never
good.
Had.
Never had them.
Mm-mm.
They're good. Sea robins don't know.
Sea robins are ugly fish.
Sea robins are interesting fish. they're just cool to look at. That's all. They're very, they're very.
They look like they have wings.
They do look like they have wings, and we have used them for flounder bait.
I don't play
belly strips. Yep. Fish eat fish, right? So we just use them for bait. It's all good. I don't think we hurt the population too much. So
nope.
No, but. There's a lot of opportunities offshore. I wish we would have got more into, sharks closer inshore, like on the beaches and stuff, that type of thing. It just didn't happen. So,
Well, that guy who was jumped in with the whale fish, whale shark,
yeah.
He said that was, 35 feet long?
That's what she said, 35 feet. They grow 35, 40 feet. That's a typical whale shark. But, yeah, good stuff.
Very good.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't jump in with it.
I would, in a heartbeat.
Go right ahead.
Yep, I would. Yep. If I'm sure somebody's got my back and I'm going to be able to get back
back
in
on the boat.
Back on the boat, yeah. I'm not going to get out there and drift away with the tide, but yeah, I would probably do that. So, oh my goodness.
They have this new thing now where, I forget where it is. It's a movie theater in the water. And you float on tubes, and you watch Jaws while you're floating on the tubes.
No, I'm not going to do that, but that's okay. Mm-mm.
I think now, see, that I would do.
John B. wants to know where we're going on our honeymoon. He says an Alaska cruise would be great.
That's one of the ideas.
That's an idea. So is the Keys.
So. I don't know about that.
Oh, then old Captain Don sends me a picture of Taunton River and Fall River, Mass. That's a nice place. Beautiful place. So
I'd rather go up north or up towards Alaska. Maine or Alaska?
Maine or Alaska, one coast or the other, huh? I like Maine, and we've been to Maine. We've both been to Maine and enjoy it, so.
But we've never been there together.
Never been there together, no.
So we were supposed to go last October. My daughter got married.
Your daughter got married. We didn't go, I know.
And then we were going to go this October, but now we're having a wedding.
I know. So we'll get there. I've been up a couple times with my buddy Vic McCallum, who used to be Natural Resources Police, ran the boating program, ran the Hunter Safety Education program. He retired up there to Maine, and going up and stayed with him a couple times, going on some sea duck hunts for the eiders. And you've seen the eiders at the house, so it's all good. Let's see here. What do we got? Sharks in the bay. Russell, good morning. How are you, Russell?
Good morning.
Hi, Russell.
Fine. I was fortunate enough to work on the construction of the second bay bridge.
Right.
And we were working on the suspension towers.
Okay.
And you could see sharks over on the eastern shore side.
Okay.
There were a school of rockfish that were being chased by a school of blues, and there was a shark chasing the blues.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
That's neat.
Yep.
And it was really unusual.
Yeah, that's that. What year would that have been, Russell?
70, 80.
What year was that, Russell? You remember?
72.
Yeah. I didn't live here at the time. I know Robin was probably on the shore by then, but
I came in 76.
76 to the shore? Okay. So you were working on the Bay Bridge on 1972. And you saw some rockfish. I'm guessing the rockfish were what they typically caught down there, foot and a half long, something like that. And the bluefish were after the school of rockfish.
Correct.
Okay. And we did have some big bluefish at that time, and then the sharks, one shark?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Probably a bull shark.
I would estimate that it was between 8 and 10 foot long.
Ooh, that's a big shark.
That's cool.
That's scary, but yeah, that was probably a big bull shark, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Bill Burton, who was the old son.
Oh, yeah, I know Bill. Sure.
At the time, I think, did an article about some of the commercial fishermen had also netted a shark.
Right, right. Well, we talked about that early on in this hour where a recreational angler actually hooked a bull shark, probably about 400 pounds, and I can't remember the size of it, back in the, I'd say mid to late 80s, off Sandy Point, and it pulled him all the way down to Bloody Point, and he landed it.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
It's really interesting what you get in the bay, and I'd also like to comment about the stingrays.
Yeah.
At Cobb Island.
Yeah, tons of them down there. They come in swarms, 50, 60, 80, 100 at a time.
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't realize what they were until they got up close and we could see them.
Yeah, cow nose rays. Well, this time of year they migrate in, they drop their pups, and they breed, or whatever you call baby ray. Raylets. Baby ray.
Yeah,
baby ray.
Sure.
Sweet baby ray, maybe.
Yeah. I enjoy listening to the show every week.
I appreciate that, Russell. Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye. There goes Russell. Captain Don, real quick, you got the last call. What's up?
Hey, they catch a lot of sea robin up here in Massachusetts, and they're sold in stores. I don't know what it's called, but they have another name for them when they sell them.
Really?
I think that goes along. There are several species of fish, I believe, are like that. They catch them as some other fish, and then they sell them as some other kind of fish.
Like a orange roughy? Or a steak fish? Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I got it. All right.
Yeah, they do have the wings, and I've been told that back in the day they could actually walk across for like a quarter of a mile. Or
I don't think so, but that's okay. We'll let that legend out there. So, all right. Well, why don't you get one? Fry it up. And let us know how sea robin tastes.
Well, they're over there fishing right now in the Taunton River. So,
all right. Well, go enjoy yourself, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Take care.
Thanks for the call. All right. See you later. Well, that just about brings us to the end of the Outdoors and Radio Show. I got a minute left here, and we made the announcement last hour. You want to repeat it again when we're getting married?
December 16th in Deep Creek Lake. So he will be pre-recorded that day, like it or not for him. He doesn't like pre-recorded.
Maybe I'll phone it in. Or not.
Or you could phone in the wedding vows, whichever one you want.
I'll keep those between us. I'm not going to mention fishing or hunting in the wedding vows.
You can mention fishing.
Or